All right, we'll go ahead and get started here. Wilkes is going to continue the discussion about Mid-South soybeans and irrigation.
Thank you, Dr. Castile, for that introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. Once again, my name is Wilkes Wood, and I just completed my second year of research at Mississippi State University under the advisement of Dr. Jason Cruz. Thinking back to my master's. And I want to discuss some of my research with all of you today that deals with the impact of planting dates and maturity group on irrigation water use efficiency in Mid-South soybean production. So to start off, I just want to give a brief background of the Mid-South and kind of where we came from. So historically, a maturity group 5, 6, and 7 soybeans were the recommended maturity groups for our area. And they were planted during May and June. And that is a little late. During that time frame, cotton was still our major crop. It kind of got the forefront of all the growers' concerns. So after cotton had been taken care of and planted, they went further then to the soybeans. And this led to static yields in the 70s and 80s. And that was mainly due to when high water demands of soybean crop during the reproductive period. That coincided with the hottest and driest months of our year, typically late July and August. And that is what led to these static yields during that time. And around then, non-irrigated were around 25 bushels per acre, or about 1,600 kilograms per hectare. And then irrigated yields were about 45 bushels, or a little over 3,000 kilograms per hectare. And just to achieve that irrigated yield, it took about 7 irrigation events. And this table comes from the ESPS handbook. And I don't know if I can get a cursor up. There we go. I just really want to focus on looking at this time frame between mid-May to the early part of June. The vast majority of our acres were planted from the early 70s up into the late 90s. So we were met with such static yields at this time. Researchers then needed to improve on our production system. Cotton inputs were beginning to rise, and it was beginning to decrease in acreage and popularity. So they got together, conducted a lot of trials, put a lot of data together, and came up with the early soybean production system. And that is currently what we use today. It's very simple. It's plant earlier and plant early maturing varieties, specifically looking at maturity group 4 soybeans. Currently, 20% of our hectares are planted before April 20th, 6% are between April 20th and May 20th, and then the remainder are planted after May 20th. And about 75% of our hectares are planted with maturity group 4, and then 25% is with maturity group 5. Now, a regional study conducted by the University of Arkansas, they wanted to look at the effect that planting date had on the percentage of yield that each maturity group could achieve within that planting date. And as we could expect, the early planting dates had the highest amount of yield being able to achieve for each of the maturity groups. And then with each increasing of planting dates or waiting longer to plant, we saw a decrease in the percentage of yield that those maturity groups could achieve. So we want to look at this from an irrigation aspect and begin to fine-tune our production system a little more. So of the about 900,000 hectares that are planted in Mississippi, about 70% are irrigated. And the reason we are so focused and concerned on this is those irrigated hectares are being pulled from the Mississippi River Valley alluvial aquifer as its primary source. In 2007, you can see 3 distinct cones of depression have began to form in that area due to our production practices. And through modeling data, if we continue on the path we are on, in just 30 years, the results could be catastrophic for our area. So the need to fine-tune our production system with irrigation management in the forefront of our mind needs to be done. And that is the objective of my study, is to determine the effect of planting dates and maturity group on irrigation water use efficiency. So these experiments were conducted at the Delta Research and Extension Center in Stoneville, Mississippi, kind of the heart of the Mississippi Delta. A maturity group 3, 4, and 5 soybean were planted at 3 different planting dates. The early planting date was April 26th and then April 27th in 2015 and 2016, respectively. Mid-planting date was May 14th and then May 16th, and then late planting date was June 1st and June 3rd. The experimental design was a split plot arrangement with 4 replications. And treatments were irrigated based upon aerometer, watermark, moisture sensors. So each maturity group within each planting date were outfitted with these soil moisture sensors. And we put 3 soil moisture sensors within each plot at depths of 15, 30, and 60 centimeters. And I know this is a picture of corn. You'll have to pretend it's soybeans. I'm not a great photographer, so I had to pull a picture. But that just gives you an idea of what this layout would look like in the field. And we took moisture readings twice a week, and we initiated at 75 centibars. So to kind of give you an idea of what these centibar readings mean, a reading of 0 to 10 means that soil is saturated. It cannot hold any more water. 30 centibars is about fill capacity, so gravitational water has drained out. And then we've triggered off of 75 centibars due to past research that Dr. Kreutz had done on this soil type, which is a Dundee silty clay loam. He was able to determine that 75 centibars season-long was a safe threshold and would not affect yield. So that's what we went with for this treatment. And then each irrigation event, we applied 41.2 millimeters per hectare of water. And then we terminated at R6.5, as recommended by Mississippi State. And then at the end of the season, plots were mechanically harvested. Data were analyzed with analysis of variance. An alpha of 0.05 was used. Final yield, irrigation, water use efficiency, and economic return all had a significant planting date by maturity group interaction. We're going to go ahead and jump right on into the results, and this is looking at yield by planting date and maturity group. Along the x-axis is the specific maturity groups within each planting date, and then the y-axis is our yield in kilograms per hectare. In the early planting date, the group 4 and group 5 out-yielded and was significantly greater than the group 3. But then, in the mid-planting date, I just want to draw attention to just the drastic and significant yield reduction we observe in that group 5 between just waiting about 2 weeks to plant. But within that mid-planting date, the group 4 yielded significantly greater than the other maturity groups. And then lastly, at the late-planting date, there was no significant yield differences among any of the maturity groups. So moving on to look at irrigation water use efficiency. And this is simply just taking yield and dividing it by the amount of water that we applied to that treatment. And along the y-axis is that irrigation water use efficiency shown as kilograms per hectare millimeter of water. Within the first planting date, we were able to achieve a very high irrigation water use efficiency. And with that, the group 3 was significantly better than the group 4, with the group 5 not being different than either of those maturity groups. And then again, moving to the next planting date, just a significant reduction in our irrigation water use efficiency is observed. However, the group 4 did do significantly better than the other two maturity groups in that time window. And then lastly, in the late planting date, the group 4 was significantly better than the group 5, with the group 3 not being different than either of the other maturity groups. So, knowing most of y'all have done a lot of extension work and been in academia a while, everything to a grower matters and comes down to dollars and cents. He's not going to adapt practice if it doesn't save him money or make him money. So moving on to economic return, same setup as the last graphs, just along the y-axis is our return over specified costs. And those specific costs are simply our pesticide applications during the season, our tillage treatments, which would be just running a crop maker once to clear out a furrow prior to irrigation, and then also the cost of irrigation. So within the early planting date, the group 5 was significantly greater than the other two maturity groups for that early planting date. Then mid-planting date, again, we see a drastic reduction in return between 3 and the group 5 soybeans, but the group 4 was significantly better than both of those. And then late planting date, we see, again, a further reduction in economic return. Had to water more during that late season to be able to achieve some yields. But during that time, the group 4 was significantly better than the other maturity groups. So, in conclusion, plant early. It's something we have been teaching for a long time, and that coincides with what the University of Arkansas study found, that nothing can compete with an early planting date. It has our highest yield potential, irrigation water use efficiency, and economic return. Next, maturity group selection for planting date. For an early planting date, the group 5 was outstanding. It had great yield, great irrigation water use efficiency, and most importantly to our growers, had a great economic return for that early planting date. However, for a mid and late planting date, group 4, no-brainer, outcompeted the other maturity groups in all aspects. So to tie all this together and bring it all, the reason of why we wanted to do the study and what we're driving at is our water reduction potentials. So recall that about 25% of our hectares are being currently planted with maturity group 5 soybean. And through personal observation through the years and through multiple discussions with our soybean specialists, we typically see those group fives being planted at later planting dates, late May, early June, and even double crops behind wheat. And each year, during this two-year study, I was able to eliminate an irrigation event late in the season due to my group four soybeans being terminated, not needing to receive water, whereas my group five beans are still late R5, early R6, and need water. So I was both years able to shave off an irrigation event at that time, and that's also where we see that economic return come out. So if we can take that shift from going with our mentality of our growers being able to plant a group five late in the season, and the main reason they're thinking of this is a fuller season variety, it will help carry me through those hot, dry times, and when I hit reproductive, it'll be a little cooler weather, hopefully, be able to catch some rain and be able to improve, but both years I've not been able to see that. So if we can help shift this mentality of planting these group fives late and also just driving the point home further to plant early, and of course some things can happen and that's sometimes outside of their control, but still drive that point home. And if we have the potential to just eliminate one irrigation event on those 25% of hectares that are planted with that group five and just transition them to a group four, we have the potential to reduce the overdraft from our aquifer by 1/4 annually. And if we can just continue to drive this home to our growers and have this as a widely adopted practice in the years to come, this can have a significant and major impact in our region in water conservation. And with that, I would like to thank the Mississippi Soybean Promotional Board, our summer workers for their help with this project, also fellow graduate students for all the help they've done on this project as well, and then my committee members for everything they've done and the knowledge they've been able to give to me. And with that, I would love to take any questions at this time. I think we have a couple minutes.
Questions for Will?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so the question was, were my group five varieties all determinate? No, ma'am. Everything we planted was an indeterminate variety. We specifically chose that. And also kind of what we did is for each maturity group, we got with the three different companies that are very widely planted in our area and chose their top varieties in our area. So we did that for each of those maturity groups as well, but everything was indeterminate. Yes, ma'am. Correct. The question was there three varieties for each maturity group each year? That is correct, and the reason I didn't show that is variety had no significant effect on any aspect of the study, so we combined them together, showed as a maturity group as a whole. And then those within each maturity group, for group three, we were actually working with some that were 3.7s, 3.9s, group fours were about 4.5, 4.7, and then our fives were 5.0 to about 5.3. So we had a little range, and that better kind of shows what we did. Yes, sir.
I found that many of these early group fives indeterminate soybean varieties are actually late four indeterminate. Did you look at the phenology, and were they truly fives or were they really late four?
All right, so the question was, with these maturity group fives that we planted, were they truly a group five or were they more acting like a late group four? Through the discussion I've had with our soybean specialist, he says, and kind of what we run into is the relative maturity that we're working with. Each company kind of throws around a little different, but looking at the specifics from each company, we haven't delved in a whole lot. But for the group fives we planted, I do feel like they were a true group five and acted as such. And I think that really shows in the first planting date, it was able to make great use of that full season. You push it back 2 weeks and it just cannot tolerate and can't put on and show like it should. Where's the group force did.
Let's go ahead and thank Will.